I'll be if you want to find that. It's Psalms is the middle of the Bible, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm very excited about these lessons. God's been working it, and this happens oftentimes, is when I'm preparing for something, even before I know I'm going to be teaching it, God will be working in my life this. Do we have extra? Do we leave any back there with Dave? We're going to have more men come in, so. Here you go, Travis. Just take these back there. With Dave. All right. Got it. All right. And God's been working these lessons on my heart. It's really been helpful to me. And really things that I didn't realize just how much of a need it was in my life. A couple of these things have really, really helped me a lot. And so I'm excited about these lessons. We're kind of just doing one word per week for 4 weeks. This week, our word we're going to focus on is duty. Next work is going to be courage. And I think the courage one has really, really, really helped me. I think it'll help you a lot because courage is more than we think it is. And I think the most courageous, what we'd call the most courageous people in the world, don't realize they're not completely courageous. And they need courage. And so I want to help you with these things. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 9. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought out to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The preacher is Solomon. He refers to himself as a preacher. And Solomon basically went and decided to try to find out the meaning of life and tried everything good and bad. He was unlimitedly wealthy, and he just tried everything, and he ended up getting very depressed because he found out life is very empty without the Lord. And verse 11, the words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further, by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and of much study is the weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the... This is not the lesson, but much study is the weariness of the flesh. It doesn't say the weariness of the mind. And I want you to understand, there are things you do that should not wear you out, that wear you out physically. And part of it's not moving around. Part of it's not being active and working with your hands and stuff. But a couple things. Idleness makes you more tired, the Bible says. If you aren't busy, you get more and more tired. And what you'll find, if you're not busy, you'll say you'll think you need 10, 12 hours of sleep a night, because you will, because idleness, the Bible says, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep. And so other thing is, too much studying wears you out physically, and too much reading and stuff. I think a man is supposed to be physical, barring some weird, no arms, no legs, in a wheelchair, whatever, I understand that. But the Bible says it's God's will that a man lives a quiet life and works with his hands. And I think you will find yourself tired a lot if you don't do something physically. And if your job career doesn't involve that, which is fine, I would say in our church, pretty close to half of you have a non-physical job. And your jobs are noble and good. I understand that. That just means you probably need to take up a hobby of something physical. Take me golfing or something. But woodworking or going out and working in the yard or anything. I just think you got to do that. Much study is weariness to the flesh. It'll wear you out. And I think watching too much TV, I think looking at the computer too much, all that stuff's going to make you too tired to be motivated to go do what you should do. It's just truth. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment and with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The word here is in verse 13, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I want to talk about duty today. Duty, let's pray together. Father, thank you for these men. We have good men in our church, and I thank you for them. And I pray today we would be helped. I pray that today you'd speak to us, and I pray that today we would learn the importance of this duty thing, the importance of responsibility, and the importance of having the right kind of mindset with duty. Help us to be duty motivated and duty driven and duty fulfilling, Lord. And I just pray you'd help us to see your way in this and to see the scriptures in this. And please help us, Father, in this subject of duty. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the, I grew up, of course, a free spirit with no responsibility and nothing. The Bible says a child left to himself comes to destruction. And I kind of grew up with no sense of any responsibility to anybody else. Nobody held me to that. I never learned that. And so basically the world revolved around me. That was it. And what I wanted to do, what I liked to do, I did. If I told you I was going to do something with you and I didn't feel like doing it, well, I didn't feel like doing it. Who are you to tell me to do that anyway? And so I wouldn't do it. And I did not understand anything about duty. And a couple of things kind of changed that. First of all, the work of God changed that. I realized I had some duties I had to fulfill. My pastor gave me responsibilities in the church, and it was my duty to do those responsibilities. And people in church, I needed to do some things to help them. And I found pretty soon duty was put on me. And then secondly, I started getting around older people. And it's pretty hard to do that now, but I started getting around the greatest generation, the ones who grew up in the Depression and World War II, and I worked for one of them, and I just hung around them and did work, did different things for them, and started to get around them, and they kind of fascinated me. And that generation, the people who would be in their 80s and 90s right now, if they're alive, they use the word duty a lot. And they spoke of it a lot. Since then, I've gotten around military people more, and military people don't realize how much they use the word duty in their lives. Actually, that's changing a little bit. The military's changing a little bit. The military is not the, I don't want to say this wrong, there's a bunch of good people in the military. Some parts of the military understand duty a great deal, but the military's lowered their standards a lot. And a different kind of people are going in the military now. And that's not a subject we're on right now. But if you talk to people who are military people, and by the way, they stand different. If you know military people, you can see a military person across the room. They have a certain way of standing and a certain way of doing things. They talk to you a certain way. And they're respectful and things. They use the word duty a lot. And the amount of the extent of that goes to, they'll say it's our duty not to leave anybody in the battlefield. And it's not like, okay, I got to go drive a golf cart up and put this guy on it. I mean, they got to go pick the guy up in the middle of enemy fire because it's their duty to do it. Duties, being around those type of people taught me a lot about duty and just the different, all those three different groups about duty. It's not something that's built into me. And by the way, it's much easier to grow up with duty than to try to learn it. If your parents taught you duty, which I hope they did, you had a big head start in life because duty is a virtuous thing. And two types of duty. And first of all, the duty is obvious here, verse 13. It says the duty toward God, the whole duty of man. And the Bible used this word duty that is your job and your duty to fear God and keep his commandments. It is your duty to do that. And then there's secondly, duty of daily obligations, and I'll just show you a couple of verses here about this. Second Chronicles, and chapter 8, and verse 14, and he appointed according to the order of David his father, the courses of the priests to their service, and the Levites to their charges, to praise and minister before the priests, as the duty of every day required. The porters also by their courses at every gate. So all, for so had David, the man of God, commanded. So these people had, these Levites had their duties, and their daily duties they're supposed to do every single day. And then Ezra, it's the same verse, but it's in Ezra also. And chapter 3, just a few books forward there, and verse 4. And it says, and kept also the Feast of Tabernacles, that is written, and offer daily burnt offerings by number according to their custom as the duty of every day required. The duty of every day required. And there are several books of the Bible I could point to where you learn about duty. For example, Nehemiah is full of, they had a duty to do. And some people wouldn't do their duty. And Nehemiah got very mad at them for not doing their duty. And so let me just define duty to you. The word is dabar. It means a word or matter spoken of or a cause. A word or manner spoken, basically, you say you're going to do something, or a cause, something that makes you have to do something. And I'm sorry, in my modern vernacular, let me just define it as we would think of it. A responsibility that is put on somebody that they are obligated to do because it's right. A responsibility put on somebody that they are obligated to do because this is right. Now, if you understand duty and you're a person who gets duty, I would have driven you crazy. Okay, because you would say, I need you to do this for me, and you would have counted on me to do it, but if I didn't feel like doing it, I just didn't do it. I just didn't. And if you understand that, when you work with somebody and they have a job, and your job relies on them doing their job, and they don't do their job, it drives you crazy. Because it was their duty, it was their obligation to do that job. But sometimes, you ever have somebody tell you they're going to do something, and then just not do it? And to them, being an irresponsible person, I want to understand this. Irresponsible people do not understand duty, so it doesn't bother them. You ever work with a person who doesn't understand duty, they will call off at a drop of a hat and not think anything of it. Where a person who understands their duty will probably come into work even though they really don't feel like it because they really need to be there and you're relying on them. And I'm not saying don't ever call off work. There's a time when you make everybody else sick and everything. I understand that. I think we call off way too much. But that's your duty. That's your job. That's your responsibility. Sometimes the worst thing in the world is when somebody doesn't understand duty, not only will they not do their job, but they won't tell you they didn't do their job. And I want to understand this. I might say I'm going to pick you up and I get in my car and my engine blows up. And I say, I can't do this, but I'm going to call you. And what I'll probably do, if I'm really a duty obligated person, I might borrow a car, or at least I'm going to get somebody else to fulfill that job. Okay? I want you to understand there's a difference here. One person will call you up, and they'll say, sorry, man, my car blew up. And you're sitting there going, I'm sitting here, and I was relying on you. And they say, sorry, what do you want me to do? My car's broke down. A duty-bound person would have said, I told you, and they would have left early, by the way, so they could get there on time and have problems. And they said, I told you I was going to get you. I'm really sorry. I'm going to do anything I can. You know what? I'm working on this. Let me call you back. And they're going to find something to do because their duty was to do what they said they were going to do. Okay? Do you understand the difference? And the person you and I might supposed to pick you up. My car breaks down. You say, you know what? Don't worry about it. I can call somebody else. And I might say, are you sure? Because I will find a way to get it done because I told you I was going to do it. That's duty. Now you say, no, I got it taken care of. Okay, I'm off the duty because you took me off the duty. But that responsibility and obligation is a biblical characteristic because God says you have a duty to serve me. I made you. You breathe my air, you are alive, I saved you, and you have a duty to fear me and keep my commandments. That's your responsibility, no excuses. No excuses. And if we can get this characteristic of duty in our lives as men, it kind of changes the way you approach everything in life. It makes you keep your word. It makes you fulfill your obligation. It makes you be an honest person. It changes a lot of things because that is what your duty to do is. And the number one duty we see, obviously, is we see the duty to God. Man has a duty to the Lord, Revelation 4:11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Everything was created for God's pleasure. It is a duty given to mankind to serve the Lord. And to find a way to do that. I was flying in a plane back on a mission ship. I was flying from Guam to Honolulu and then coming back to Seattle. And I was flying with a man who was way up in the military, and he was in charge of all underwater demolition for the Navy, basically, and he had a pretty cool job, basically going underwater and blowing things up. It's a pretty cool job, and I was talking to this guy, and I was talking about his family, and we're just talking, and a really decent moral guy, and he was talking about his wife. He says, you know what? This guy was huge. He was a big guy, probably 6'4", and probably 290, 300 pounds. Just a big triangle, big broad shoulders. The reason I remember that is because we were in the back row of the entire airplane, and him and I were sitting next to each other in these little tiny seats. And so I was talking to him, and he says, I asked if he's married. He said, yeah, I'm married. He says, my wife is an amazing woman. He says, she's about this tall. She's under 5 feet tall. And he says, you know, to be honest, and some of the conversation, he just brought it up to talk to me. He says, to be honest with you, she's older than me, and she's not the most attractive woman in the world. He says, but she has a heart of gold. And he says, you know, she's probably not the woman I would ever chosen to marry. I mean, if you're not attracted to a woman, that's not a good start and everything. But he said, you know, he was my buddy's wife, and he got killed in action. I felt it was my duty to take care of his wife, so I married her. And I thought, buddy, you got duty above and beyond the call of duty. And I thought, wow. He said, it was my duty to take care of her, so I married her. And he said, she's a good lady, you know. And he thought he respected her. He liked her. Wasn't attracted to her. And she couldn't have kids. And he accepted that. And he said, it's my duty. And now, that obligation, he felt an obligation to take care of his buddy who was killed in action of his wife, so he married her. And I'm not sure if I'm not saying that's what he should have done, but I do like the duty aspect. I do like the I'm going to take responsibility for my friend aspect. I like that. I think that we are way too self-centered. And way too much about what we wanted to. And kind of to explain this, things I've seen of duty are so, because we're not really, we're now the me generation is what they call this generation. Me and duty don't go together too much. You know, my wife's grandparents on both sides, they couldn't feed them anymore in the Depression. The farm failed. Literally, they had the crops. And a giant hailstorm came and destroyed everybody's farms at the same time. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't feed the kids. And they told the kids, we're going to need to sell you out to farms to work, to feed yourself and help us out. And the children being 14 and 15, and there was 8 kids in one case, they just went off as their duty was to go take care of the family at that young age. And took care of their duty. And so that duty, understanding, hey, that's my family, I got to take care of my family, is vital and important, and we understand that. But it's our duty to do the jobs that God has given us. I had there's just so many illustrations of these things, and so many illustrations of understanding the rust. I have as I quoted it, a responsibility that is put on somebody that they are obligated to do because it is right. A good phrase is duty bound. You ever heard that phrase? I'm duty bound to do this. It's a good phrase, and you gotta have that, and you gotta get that. Some duties we have. I'm gonna just give you a few of these, and you get the principle here. I want you to get the principle. Understand that is a characteristic that should be in your life. I think, by the way, I think just that your church today in Sunday school probably shows you at least understand duty somewhat, because a Christian understands they have a duty to God, so they come to church. And they just say, I might not feel like it today, but I'm going to go because I have the duty to do that. Now, here's the thing. A man is a complete creature. A man should have the duty thing right in every area. Sometimes I find a person that understands duty at work very well and is a good worker, but you talk about duty to God, and they just, you know, I'm too busy for that. And they don't think of the duty in the same way. But a person who understands duty, it permeates every area of their life, and they are duty-bound in every area where they do have a duty. And not everything is my duty. Understand that. sometimes a duty-bound person can obligate themselves to too many things. And everything is not your duty to do. Remember how I said a lack of planning on your part does not necessarily constitute an emergency on my part? Everything is not my duty to do, and everything is not your duty to do. But when you take it as your duty, you're honor-bound. When you take it as your duty, you're honor-bound. So let's give you a few things. First of all, in the Bible, just some duties that people had. A person, if you know your Bible a little bit fairly well, you'll understand a person. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we found we have a duty to preach the gospel because Paul was a person who talked about duty a lot. Now, Paul did not use the word duty always. But you're going to find in these verses here, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, though he's not going to use the word duty, you're going to see it's duty. And he feels like it's a duty that he has. A duty to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 15. It says, "But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that I should be so done unto me. For better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel." Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. We just, in a sermon we had, it was in Luke chapter 17, he said, "You wicked and unprofitable servant, you've done that which is your duty to do." Once you have a duty, it's not like pat you on the back because you did what you're supposed to do. It's kind of like people want their boss to pat on the back because they did what they got paid for. You don't need a pat on the back if you did what you got paid for. When you go above and beyond, your boss might pat you on the back, but for doing what you're getting paid for, listen, Ronald McDonald doesn't need to come in person to every person who flips burgers because they flip burgers. That's their job and he's paying them for it. Now, some people go above and beyond, and hey, I think a good boss will notice that and do that, but don't go whine and why don't you ever notice what I do? By the way, I don't think kids should do that to their parents. I clean my room. Why aren't you telling me I'm wonderful? Well, when they go above and beyond, we'll do that. But over positive affirmation is bad for kids, and over positive affirmation is bad for employees because they think that's the norm. That's a good thing to have done above and beyond. And so, preach the gospel. In World War II was an interesting time. Matter of fact, Dennis and I talked about this. World War II is an interesting time because that was a duty bound generation. And did you know that it wasn't just the soldiers who sacrificed in World War II? Did you know they rationed everything? Tires, gas. Did you know the West Coast had to turn the lights off at night? Because everybody was trying to win the war. It wasn't just the people who were fighting. You might want to walk them, Dave, you might want to show them exactly what room they're in. Okay. They did that. Dennis, was it your dad, Dennis, who stayed because he had to do, what was he doing? He was doing radar. Yeah. My grandfather was, he worked for Mob Bell and he was an engineer. Very, very, very smart. And he wanted to go to war and they said, no, you're staying here. You've got to install radar in America. And this new thing, radar is coming out and you're the only guy who can figure it out. And he ended up installing it across Canada, America, and all kinds of places. But he wanted to go to the war because they all felt it's their duty to go kill the Japanese and Germans. Yet they said, no, your duty is here. And they said, okay, if that's my duty, then I'll stay here. And that's understanding. I've got something that needs to do. I need to do. It's a responsibility, an obligation given to me. I have to do this thing, even if it's not what I want to do or what my plan to do was. And so we understand that. To preach the gospel is our first duty. God gave you eternal life and said, hey, go give it to other people. How can we not say, I have a duty to go give the gospel to the lost? I have the answer to eternal life. It's my duty. And yet many Christians pass that duty to somebody else. You have the words of eternal life. You have lost people out there. How can you not? Paul says, there's no glory in that I preach the gospel. Actually, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. You understand he's talking about duty there. He says it's wrong if I don't do it. He says it's not like any praise for doing it. That's my duty. We have a duty to pray for each other. We have a duty to pray for each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm just giving you a few duties in the Bible because I want you to be duty-bound men. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And you don't have to turn to all these. I'm just giving you some things here. And this is a beautiful verse, verse 23. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way. He says, it's not that I'm going to do a bonus in praying for you. He says, woe unto me if I sin against God in not praying for you. He says, God is there to listen to me. God's given me the ability to pray. You need prayer. It would be sin. God has given me that duty to pray for you. And I think the Bible commands that in James chapter 5 and other passages. We have a duty to pray for each other. Pray for each other. And boy, does Satan get the advantage because we don't pray for each other. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The context there, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another. Did you know you have a duty to pray for each other? I mean, Rick has a duty to pray for Ron, and Ron has a duty to pray for Jess, and Jess has a duty to pray for Robbie and others. And you might not get everybody in the church, but you know what? There are some people that you know that God has put in your heart, and you know them, and you could pray for them. And if God put them on your heart, it's your duty. And we need prayer today. Hey, you have battles as a man in our culture, don't you? It'd help if somebody's praying for you. And it'd help me if you'd pray for me. We have a duty to pray for us. Next, to provide for the family. This is for men. The Bible says, if any man provideth not for his own, he is worse than an infidel and hath denied the faith. God says, it's your duty. And you are worse than a Satanist or a Jehovah Witness or a false cult member. He says, worse you said Jesus isn't Lord than you deny your faith, than you don't provide for your family. Now, I don't necessarily understand that. I don't know why not providing for your family in God's sight is worse than an infidel and you've denied the faith, but I believe it because it says it. That's what it says. And God says you have a duty to provide for your family. Amen. It's your job. It's not a bonus if when I provide my family. I don't go to my family and say, you owe me something, I provide for you. I don't do it in that way. My wife might do that sometimes, but I understand that's a minimal obligation. And I want you to understand that's a duty. If you say, well, I don't want it to provide for a wife and kids, then don't get married. Stay single. Because when you say I do, you said duty for provision. Okay? I love that we had a guy in our church in Hammond. He had an accident at work. He fell off a ladder, broke his neck, was paralyzed from basically his armpits down. And he could barely move his arms a little bit. They eventually got better. He could move his arms somewhat. I talked to the guy 3 weeks ago. And this guy, he was paralyzed, went to his pastor and said, he said, Pastor, I want to go to college to learn to be a teacher because I'm still responsible to provide for my family. And the pastor said, all right, you're approved to go to our Bible college. And he went to the deacon and said, if that guy makes it through college, I'm hiring him. He says, I want that guy teaching our kids in the Christian school. Why? It was his duty. And he had the mind of duty for providing his family. And by the way, I don't think, let me get myself in real trouble here. If my wife inherited $10 million tomorrow, it is still my duty to provide for my family. I don't want her to be my provider. Okay? I don't want the state being my family's provider. I don't want President Obama and the government. I don't want that. I want to be the provider of my family. It's my duty. Okay? That's our duty. And so you say, well, what would you do with all that money if your wife got $10 million? I don't know. You say, I got some ideas, Pastor. Talk to me. But you know what? I would probably pay off our debt. I'd probably do that. But you know what? I would keep working and keep providing for my family. And then I'd probably give the rest away. I want my wife to need me. And I want my wife to look and say, my husband provides for me. And to say, he's a man. He takes care of me. That's what I want. I don't want her to not need me. I see what happens when the husband doesn't provide. I see it. And pretty soon, she doesn't respect him. And then it's hard to have a good relationship and the wife doesn't respect the husband. I don't mind if the wife's got free time and can work a few hours and help out pay the bills. I'm not saying that. I just want you to understand, it falls on me as my duty. Understand that. So I want to do that. Next, we have a duty to work hard for the Lord. Colossians 3. So you young men who aren't married, once you understand this, don't say I do if you aren't ready to provide. You just stay single. You just say I want, because if you don't want to, if you don't, you don't want to take out that duty, then that's part of being married. And so understand that. Colossians chapter 3. And verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters. Let me see what time I got here. I don't got time. I just briefly say, I understand if the wife doesn't have any kids at home. When there's kids at home, the wife ought to be at home. But I understand if she's got a few extra hours, she can make money. She can make money from home. It's hard to make it on a single income in our culture. It's designed for two incomes. I understand that. I've struggled with it for 20 years, making an income on a single income. I understand that. However, she shouldn't be the provider. She might help if the opportunity opens. I'm not against that. My wife worked for a little bit before he had kids, if it can work out. But you're supposed to be the provider. And ultimately, it's your duty. And if she doesn't want to work, then not her job. And if you have kids, she shouldn't work unless she can do it without interfering anything to do with the kids. Colossians 3, I don't have time to teach you that enough. If you have questions, ask me about it. Verse 22, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleases, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You're supposed to be a hard worker at work. Okay? I don't care if the boss is watching. You have a duty to do it. That's your job. You ought to be outstanding at work. You ought to be outstanding. You ought to go the extra mile. My son arrived in Boston yesterday, and he met the pastor, and he told me, he said, I've already found a whole bunch of extra jobs I can do around here that need to be done. Okay? Now, I didn't tell him to do that. The pastor didn't tell him to do that. He just has an eye. He just had an eye for that. And I'm glad he does, because he's working for Jesus, I hope. And he might get fired from this. I don't know. I just like that he started out saying, I found a bunch of extra jobs I can do. And he wants to do that. And when you go, and when you talk about this recently, but I just want to say, work for the Lord. It's your duty. If you go to work and just do your duty, I think you'll be doing better, and I think you'll be doing enough. But I think you ought to really say, I'm doing this for Jesus. You have an obligation to work for Jesus. Let's do some other things. I left this open here for a little bit. Give me some things you think are our duties. Give me something you think we have a duty to do in life. Yes, sir? I took the boys from the church, a couple of them last week, and wanted to let them work. And so I took him to our house, and I let Taylor drive my drive lawnmower. And so he really is diligent now about riding drive lawnmowers. So I don't know how to push more. I'm not sure he'd want to do so much. But all right, give me some other duties. Duties we have in life. Duties you have responsibility. Things that an obligation has been put on you in life. Michael?
Take care of your parents when they can't take care of themselves.
Very good. I have that one listed. Yes, sir? Okay. By the way, paying your bills is an obligation, is a duty. You said I'm going to pay this bill. You signed up. It's your duty. That's your duty to pay your bills. And by the way, if I can't pay my bills, okay, I call the person. Because I told them I was going to pay them. It's my duty. Or I went and bought that thing. Amen. And I might say, buddy, I hope you're going to live for about 200 years, because it's going to take a little while. But, you know, I don't say that. I've called people before. And please, you're looking at a guy who knows financial struggles. And I'm talking for decades. Okay? I know financial struggles. And you try having 7 kids on a single income and starting a church with no people coming to church. I know that, and I've called people and said, I want you to know, I don't have any money right now, but I'm going to pay you. And you know, they become my best friend. I'm just telling you. And by the way, I have pretty much perfect credit. Because you know how merciful they are when you talk to them. And you know you can work things out if you talk to them. But if nothing else, I just want to tell them. And by the way, don't get yourself in that situation. Don't overspend. But when you talk to them and you say, I'm going to do this because it's right and because I said I'm going to pay you. And you tell them you're going to and you do it. They will, just because you called them, just because you talked to them and you understand duty, they're a lot nicer to you. And sometimes they'll work with you a lot. And I just think that's a good thing. Paying your bills, that's important. I put down, anybody else have some other things? Yes, sir.
Make sure Christ is in the middle of
my home. Amen. Duty is a spiritual leader of your home. Very good. Any others? Just thoughts on duty, something that's your duty to do? Alex?
Protect the family.
Very good. A lot of good things. I put tithing. Tithing's a duty. It's just something God put on all of us, and God says it's your duty to God, and to do that. Can you imagine, and here's what I want you to do in duty. I want you to understand this and get this one thought on duty. Don't think that small duties are not important duties, because I think anybody would say, well, if it was my duty to stand guard at night and the terrorists were coming, I would do my duty. Well, okay. But I want you to take duty in every area seriously, okay? And can you imagine, for example, today, if I came today and say, you know what, I ain't got anything to preach today. I just had a busy week. You would say, that's your duty. How can you not do that? That's important. And it is important. And I've never done that. And I've had some busy weeks. But I want you to understand that though you might not be preaching the Bible, and this is unbelievably important to me, God puts you at your job to do your job, and your job is important, and your duties are important, and your obligations are important, and you ought to take them. By the way, your obligations in life are just as important as that guy who's going to run out in the middle of the bullets flying and grab his buddy and throw him on his shoulder because it's his duty. And if we would take our duties seriously, I think that in life we would be so outstanding in our culture that people would move up in everything we do. I think we would stand out. I think we should go above and beyond. I just think we have to understand obligation and duty and responsibility and all these areas of our life. And I think if we do that, because I know a lot of people who are good in some duties. And let me give you, last of all, we'll finish up. And by the way, next week we're going to talk about courage is next week. Number one, I already mentioned that. What are our calls to duty? Call to duty is a bad game, but these are calls to duty are good. Number one, an obligation for those you're responsible for. Somebody said taking care of your parents, taking care of your children, taking care. The Bible, by the way, the Bible puts in a responsibility to the church to take care of the people who can't take care of themselves. Handicapped, widows, fatherless. Okay? By the way, that's why I had some kids in my house this week and teaching them to work. It's duty, and it's good. How do you get calls of duty and obligation for those you're responsible for? Number two, by accepting the responsibility. You either get paid for it, you signed a piece of paper, you charged it, you accept the responsibility if you did those things. Having a wife, those are all accepting responsibilities you do. And thirdly, a call to duty is your word. And that's enough. I love this. Well, I didn't promise. Why? The Bible, Jesus says, don't swear, say yea or nay. And that's enough. Don't you love that? Well, I didn't promise I was going to do it. I just said I would. That's enough. Your word is your bond. I didn't swear on a stack of Bibles and cross my heart and hope to die, stick a needle in my... You know those phrases came out because people didn't keep their word. That's why those phrases came out. When you say yes, that you mean yes. And duty. And this is a process that I'm learning, I've learned, and that God has shown me, taking a long time. I didn't have a dad to show me this. I didn't have responsible people to show me this. I didn't have it. But I'm learning this thing, and it's really been a help. And God has given us duties in life, and woe is me if I don't do my duties, as Paul said. And read the life of Paul. Read his writings. He writes everywhere about, I have a duty towards you. I have a duty because of this, and I think duty is important. I think it's a beautiful thing. Duty is beautiful. When a man or a woman or anybody fulfills their duties in life. Let's pray. Father, help us to be duty-bound people and do the things we ought to do. Lord, I thank you for the good men we have in church, and they fulfill their duties. And I pray that we'd be rounded and complete them. I pray in every area we'd understand it. And I pray that we would be, Lord, men of duty. Lord, they shouldn't have more duty down on Fort Lewis than they have duty here at Open Door Baptist. Lord, help us to have it. Help us be full of duty. And when we obligate ourselves and we put ourselves in that position that we understand responsibility and we took it upon us, we're going to do it. Please help us in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes closed quickly.